out by the Islamic clerics. And, of course, you're violating that law. Why, you are doing nothing, but you're violating it. And in every respect, everything is done. You have the ability, freedom to travel, but according to the law. Everything is qualified according to the law. Well, our telephone number is 1-800-259-5791. And what I thought as I listened to John's presentation this afternoon, and for those of you who are on the Internet, why, you can go and listen to it. It should be archived, or will be archived by tomorrow. My interview with John Stormer, done on the afternoon program on 9:28. And I suggest you listen because John does a much better job of analyzing this than I do. But as he went point by point through the Iraqi Constitution, what you see is we've established basically a fascist society over there, where, of course, even the members of the legislature are bound by Islamic law. Now, what does that mean, of course, to the Christian element? Well, as you know, at one time, when Iraq was a secular society under the Saddam Hussein, who, incidentally, the American government had kept in power. After all, he was a CIA agent back in the 1950s, and we have books written long ago talked about how he worked as an assassin and was trained as an assassin for the CIA back in the 1950s, and that's where he learned to kill. Initially, he was, he was very sickened at this idea of killing, but after he'd worked as an assassin for the CIA for a time, he came to be very, very proficient at it. And then, of course, he came to power in 1979 when Zygmunt Brzezinski was the National Security Advisor to President Carter. As you remember, Zygmunt Brzezinski was the one who, working with the CIA, toppled the Shah of Iran, who was the friend of America and a good anti-communist with a very productive society. And yes, he was an authoritarian figure, and I'm sure that there was excesses in his society. Why, sometimes I'm sure they tortured people and they mistreated them, but he was actually, of course, redistributing the land, and he had the vast majority of the people behind him. But the CIA saw to it that he was overthrown, and they installed the Ayatollah Khomeini and the Islamic mullahs. And at the time, I thought to myself, and I commented, why in heaven's name would the United States intelligence agencies overthrow a friend of the United States and install enemies of the United States, these radical mullahs? Well, back in 1979, I did not understand. The whole technique was, of course, to create the best enemies that we could possibly have so we could unite the American people behind our government. You have to have an enemy. In 1979, communism was still the enemy, and of course, one reason why we'd been backing the Shah so much was that he was a bulwark against the communists, at least that's what we thought. I didn't realize in 1979 incidentally, if you'd like to give us a call, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. So if you'd like to call us, give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Anyway, back in 1979, certainly the communism was still the enemy. They wouldn't, of course, the Berlin Wall wouldn't come down until about 1991, somewhere in there, when we had this phony revolution in Russia, and this thing was all orchestrated. Gorbachev had already made arrangements to come to the United States 6 months before the phony revolution, and of course, as you know, Gorbachev works very closely with some of our leaders here. If you get the membership list of the board of directors of the Gorbachev Foundation, you're going to find people like George Shultz and Mabiki. You're going to find George Herbert Walker Bush and all sorts of other people on the board of directors of the Gorbachev Foundation. So eventually it becomes very obvious that all of this conflict between the Russians and the communists and the United States is simply all contrived for public relations purposes. But you have to have an enemy. And we were preparing an enemy back in 1979. When we toppled the Shah and brought the Iranian Ayatollahs to power, and now we're talking about going to war with the very government that we brought to power almost 27 years ago. It really doesn't make sense unless you realize, of course, that Zbigniew Brzezinski is a very brilliant man. He was employed, of course, a few years before that in 1973 to form the Trilateral Commission. They, of course, put their first president into power in 1976. That was Jimmy Carter. The purpose of the Trilateral Commission was to take over control of the American government. Jimmy Carter was a member of the Trilateral Commission. He was replaced by Ronald Reagan, who, although he himself was not a member of the Trilateral Commission, his vice president was. His name was George Herbert Walker Bush, a member. Remember, we only had about 100 members of the Trilateral Commission, and George Herbert Walker Bush was the vice president and ran things under the Reagan administration. He then became the president in 1988, and he was replaced in 1992 by Bill Clinton, who just happened to come from the membership roles of the Trilateral Commission. And then, of course, he then was replaced by George W. Bush, who, although not himself a member of the Trilateral Commission, is actually pretty well controlled by Dick Cheney, who is. And Dick Cheney, of course, was a member of the Trilateral Commission. When he entered government, he had to resign from the Trilateral Commission. But don't you worry, he was replaced by his wife, Lynn Cheney. And you can actually go up on Wikipedia today, or you can go out to the August Review. I believe it's augustreview.org and get the current list. And there you'll find that Lynn Cheney, Dick Cheney's wife, is an active member of the Trilateral Commission today. So the Trilateral Commission really controls our government. But they were planning even back in 1979, on, I believe, in taking us to this coming war with Iran. Somebody's reading a cosmic script, and I tremble for my country when I reflect what a war with Iran will mean for America, indeed for the world. Well, let's go to Darren, who's calling from Colorado Springs. Hi, Darren. Do you have a question or comment?
Good evening, sir. I'd like to thank you very much for your service, your time, and your education that you bring to the people.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Sort of a lonely job here, but it's nice to know people are out there listening. And do you listen there in Colorado Springs, what, on the Internet or shortwave?
Well, I listen to the shortwave program.
Okay, great.
But it's been a little some time ago. I bought We Sold Our Souls for Rock and Roll video set that you offer on your website.
What did you think of that?
I thought it was enlightening. It was very enlightening. I was caught up in pop culture and all the degradating elements that are so well placed in our culture now. I was in the midst of it all for a long time, and it's good to have context to understand what has happened and what is happening, and that really was a very concise and informative set of tapes.
Well, for our listeners out there who don't know the story, these are simply interviews and talks and clips of songs put forward by our leading people in rock and roll, and many of these people are simply demonically possessed. They're followers of Aleister Crowley, and of course, so many of their songs have a satanic, anti-Christian message. And didn't you find, as you watched that, Darren, that this whole battle between God and Satan was really beautifully brought out and demonstrated in the songs and the presentation?
Absolutely, absolutely I did. I mean, there were a lot of powerful portrayals on there of the destroyer and how well he does his work.
Yeah, talking about the devil, of course. And the devil, the thing is, the devil is real. This is not imaginary. Did you get the 3, 4, or 10-hour presentation?
I got the 10 hours.
All right, well then, you got the full treatment. I think that is one of the most powerful things we have to demonstrate to people what we're really talking about.
I was excited. You mentioned Joel Skousen was going to be with you tonight, and I'm hoping he gets through, and I'll be able to hear you two talk. But because he's another man, in addition to you, who, for whom I have a great deal of respect.
Well, I do, too. That's why I love to have him on, and I don't know what happened. He may have got caught up with something else. And so, anyway,
and
we will have him on. If we're not this week, we'll have him on again next week.
I thoroughly enjoyed your interview with Barry Shamish the other day.
Wasn't that fascinating?
It was fascinating. I have a love for Barry in Christ, and I was able to talk to him once. He did a local interview on the radio here in Colorado Springs, and I was able to talk to Barry briefly.
Well, you know, pray for Barry, because he's not a Christian. I'm not even sure he really even believes in the God of the Bible, but he knows what's going on, and he's trying to do this all on his own, and you can't do this on your own. I couldn't. I would no more think of doing what I do if I didn't have people praying for me and have that shield of prayer and believe with all my heart that the story of the Bible is true.
Well, the only way in this realm, you know, in this life that I've gotten to where I'm at is other people's prayers. That's the only way it could be.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, Darren, is there anything else you'd like to say? We have a couple of other callers.
Well, I wanted to ask you, listened to you a while back, and you talked about Megiddo 1 and Megiddo 2.
Right.
And I was enthused. I was enthralled. I thought, now these are things that perhaps I should get to be even more so enlightened as to what is truly happening. And would you recommend one or the other or both?
I would recommend both of them. They're really entirely different. Remember, and I haven't seen them for a couple of years, but the first one gets into all the prophecies of Edgar Cayce and Ezra Thomas. And, of course, approaching this from a Christian point of view, they're fascinating prophecies, but they do not come from our Lord. And, of course, there are many, many people who swear by these prophecies, but the only prophecies you can really trust are those that do come from the Lord, and they're the ones that come to pass. And then it just takes you into this whole idea that we certainly are living in truly prophetic and biblical times, and as I see us being drawn for no logical reason into a war in the Middle East, I see God's hand drawing our nation into this and even drawing the leaders of Iran into this, because it doesn't make any sense from either point of view. And God is going to plunge us into a terrible, terrible situation, but then this may be the means that God is going to bring his judgment on this country as well.
Well, Dr. Stan, see, I got a heavy heart. I've really been broken. I've seen the results of sin, you know. I've lived it, and I see it around me now, the people in my workplace, and just the escapist, choose-your-own-reality mentality of the people. You know, like, just briefly, I had on Alex Jones. He had a BBC report he aired, a short little piece from a BBC story about the organ transplant industry in China.
I heard about that, right?
And it's just macabre. It's beyond the pale. It's inhumane. I have a hard time getting my mind around it.
So many of the things we talk about are not very nice. The planned starvation between 58 and 62 in China, where they killed, starved to death, you know, in the farming area, between 41 and 43.5 million people, told in the book A Mother's Ordeal by Stephen Mosier. And you can even find references to the Great Hunger up on the Internet. Type that in on Google, and they usually say 30 million died. Not a word of that in America, in the American media. How do you explain that? Or the fact that, you know, by outlawing DDT here back in 73, we probably killed close to 100 million people throughout the world, you know, died unnecessarily of malaria. When you understand the enormity of what we're up against, you can't dwell on it. You have to realize that God's ultimately in control, but the evil is being allowed to work. Our job is to expose it, and hopefully in what we do, we will draw people closer to the Lord. And Megiddo 2 is excellent. Actually, it's a story. It begins in the Garden of Eden, a lot of graphics, but you'll actually see some people, some of the mediums, as they go into their trances, and you can actually see them becoming demonically possessed. And if you can get some of your friends to watch these videos, and the reason we carry them is so that you can utilize them, and certainly if you can get your friends to watch those videos that Chris has done, I think that at least some of them will be touched. All we can do is try. Hold just a moment. Okay, this is Dr. Stan. Unfortunately, we've got a full board right now, and you can call probably in a few minutes at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But right now, of course, all the lines are blinking. Anything else, Darren? Don't get discouraged. Our job is to try to reach people, and whether they hear us or not is not up to us. Our job is to try to reach them, and only God will make their will make them listen, will open their eyes.
Well, and to be a living example, to let other people see any kind of a light that might come through your own being, you know, that they might find there's a better way, as opposed to just the sheer hedonism I see is regressing to, you know, as a culture. It's disturbing to me, just the complacency.
Oh, I know. I just got an email from Israel, from Cheryl, who's a missionary over there, saying that on the 10th of November they're going to have their gay rights parade in Jerusalem. Just gives you that warm, fuzzy feeling, doesn't it?
It's
total depravity. But the Lord is not going to put up with this much longer. I honestly believe that.
You know, I'm just bewildered by my landlord. I rent a home. And my landlord is a practicing sodomite, and I mean it's in the stories and the this stuff he shouts it to the rooftops.
I know, but you know, one time if you were of that tendency, why you would try to keep it to yourself. We brought that out of the closet. We've made it a commonplace. But one day these people are going to have to stand before God. Just pray for them. That's all you can do. Darren, you and I aren't going to change it, but pray for them.
In addition to the Megiddo 1 and Megiddo 2 films that you carry, is there anything else that you'd recommend that particularly has the emphasis on Bible prophecy?
Well, let's see. Of course, no, those are the things that were primarily into the biblical prophecy. We may be carrying some others later on. But these are the ones we have primarily. We have, of course, Joe Schimmel's other DVD entitled Da Vinci Con, Hollywood's War on America, which really shows you how so many of these films have a Gnostic underpinning. And, of course, all of Joe Schimmel's videos are aimed at bringing people to the Lord. But they're really not, of course, prophetic. Megiddo 1, Megiddo 2 would be the ones you'd want to get into from the prophetic point of view.
And there was some mention you made of the Georgia Guidestones. And that, I think even in one of the Megiddo 2 that you did the kind of the breakdown of what the Guidestones were.
Right, right.
And I don't know much about them, but that has something to do with the Luciferian hierarchy and some kind of a...
Well, basically, they're this strange monument that's back in Elberton, Georgia. And, of course, it was, I think, a man came to town in 1979. He announced his name was R.C. Christian, but that wasn't his real name. And he represented a secret society that wanted to leave a message for humanity. And he put up the money to build very... expensive a monument there that has the Ten Commandments from the dark side written in eight different languages. And you know, you're talking about Chinese and Spanish and Swahili, English, Russian, Hebrew, Arabic, and of course, and basically point number one is to maintain the world population at 500 million in constant balance with nature and a new spirituality. And of course, we're talking about, you know, abortion. They don't mention abortion. It's simply birth control. But it basically is a satanic monument. There's satanic ceremonies there. And this is never mentioned by the controlled media because they don't want people to understand there is organized Satanism and organized satanic cells and witchcraft and all this sort of thing in America. And a lot of it is right there in Washington, D.C., Hey, Darren, I got to run because I got a board full of people, and I don't want to get them all mad at me.
Well, thank you for your time, sir.
God bless. And please keep listening and try to get those other people in Colorado Springs to listen.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Well, let's go to Jeff, who's calling from Chicago. Hi, Jeff. How are you doing?
Really good, Dr. Stan. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thanks.
Hey, let me ask you a question. You're talking about the Iraqi Constitution. You know, I have not verified this, but I heard that Kennedy and McCain, along those same lines, didn't even write that amnesty bill regarding the border. You know, there's that clause in the bill that says, well, sure, we can put a fence up there if it's approved by Mexico. So, from my understanding, they had an immigration attorney write up that entire thing. Is that accurate?
I really don't know. I haven't heard that at all, one way or the other. But all I know is that initially the Senate passed legislation to build a fence, but didn't put any money up on it. In other words, they agreed to build a 300-mile fence, but, of course, didn't appropriate the money. I don't know where it stands now, but you have to understand this is all election, posturing. It's all to try to get the American people to believe that the people in the Senate and the House are really trying to stop immigration. Why did they wait until just now, before the elections, to do something?
That kind of reminds you.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we've got Jeff calling from Chicago asking about the Immigration Act, and I was simply saying that everything going on now is posturing. It's to try to allay the apprehension of the American people about the fact that they've allowed not 11 million, but probably closer to 20 million illegal immigrants to come into this country. Their objective is a multicultural, multilingual society where they can play one group against the other. And, of course, impoverish us all. When you've got strife in the country, what's the solution? Why ever more government control of our lives? How are we going to identify the illegal immigrants? We're all going to have ID cards and maybe even, of course, take some sort of a chip so they'll be sure we're Americans and these other people are illegal. They've refused to enforce our immigration laws. They've refused to, close the border. They refuse to go after the people who are hiring the illegal immigrants. They have given them all sorts of benefits, free health care, even subsidized housing, welfare benefits, subsidized education. If I was in Mexico, I'd come up here myself.
They're going to have a similar situation, aren't they, in Iraq, where you're going to have these warring, you already have it, you've got these internal warring factions, and then you're going to put this constitution, the Iraqi constitution, but there's really no teeth to it at all, is there? It's just more of the same.
Well, of course, the Iraqi constitution is basically an Islamic constitution. There will be no freedom of religion. Everything will be under Islamic law. And if it was this socialist constitution, there will be no individual freedom. But, of course, you will have an ink finger. That's about the only thing that you'll have that will make you think you're free. Unfortunately, what's taking place in Iraq is a terrible tragedy, and we have so many good people who are actually believe we've got to support our Christian president. After all, if we don't, why the wicked Democrats are going to be in. And I say that both parties are controlled by the same people, and it's all a scam. The only trouble is that well over 100,000 Iraqis have died, probably close to 130,000. 1,800,000 Iraqis have fled to other neighboring countries. Of course, we know that during the time of the embargo from 1990, the time we invaded, over 500,000 Iraqi children died because they couldn't get vaccines or antibiotics. And when Madeleine Albright was asked if it was worthwhile, she said, "I think it was worthwhile." Why, of course, we had to keep the embargo on. Americans are responsible for what they've done, and men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. And I would like to suggest what's going on today in Iraq is evil. Hold that thought for just a minute. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we've got Jeff calling from Chicago. Anything else you want to say, Jeff? Jeff, are you there? I guess we lost Jeff. Well, all right. Jeff, I didn't mean to cut you off, so if you want to call back, you can. Let's go to Ray hanging on from Santa Cruz. Again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Hi, Ray. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. I just want to thank you for telling me about President Carter and about his affiliation with Trilateral Commission. I had no idea. I never even knew that. And I'm glad you told me, you know, you told us about that.
Well, the thing is that they...
I think it's very important to know that, because he's supposed to be a great humanitarian, you know.
Well, of course, if you can go up on the World Goods... it's one of the subdivisions of the Lucius Trust. I think it's World Servers, Good Service, something of the sort website.
If you want, I can get
it for you. But actually, this is a Luciferian website. You'll find out that the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and the Carter Foundation are both affiliated with this World Servers website, affiliated with the Lucius Trust. Now, maybe they don't know what they're...
Maybe they don't know. But maybe they do.
Maybe they do. Who can say?
Yeah. That was great that you said that.
Let me give you, it's called the New Group of World Servers. That's the New Group of World Servers, and you go to their website, look very carefully, you'll find that there under the foundations that are supporting them are those two foundations I mentioned. Go ahead, Ray.
I had a historical question. I was wondering whether Adolf Eichmann was one of the fugitives of Operation Paperclip.
Yes, he was. In fact, you have to understand Operation Paperclip. The CIA not only brought a number of the Nazi war criminals to the United States, and that's covered in a book called The Secret Agenda by Linda Hunt, but they helped 10,000 Nazis escape to South America, MI6 and the CIA. And Eichmann was one of those. Now, we knew where he was, but we never made any effort to get him. He was actually tracked down by one of the Jewish anti-Nazi groups who tracked him down and one of the other Nazis. But the other, 9,998 lived out their lives there. And certainly Martin Bormann was there.
Mm-hmm.
But everything was done to conceal this from the American people.
And also the fact that I believe that Eichmann and along with a few others were actually Jews.
Don't know where they were or not.
He sure did look like he was Jewish, you know, in a way.
Well, the Jews tracked him down, and certainly he was tried and executed for his crimes, and he should have been, but so should the other 10,000 as well.
Yeah, that's true.
You have to understand, Ray, that our government financed the Nazi movement before the war, and many of our corporations financed it during the war. There's a book called Trading with the Enemy by Charles Hingham that covers that. We carry a book called Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler by Professor Sutton. We actually have that book in stock.
And Henry Ford and also I.G. Farben was involved in the atrocities at Auschwitz. And, I saw a film about I.G. Farben, and it was very interesting. They talked about how the head of I.G. Farben and Krupp, I think it was Krupp, not I.G. Farben, Krupp, I think Alfred Krupp.
Right.
I think he ran I.G. Farben, I'm not sure. But
no, Krupp was a separate, they were...
Was he separate from that?
I think they were a steel manufacturer.
But he was also, was complicit in the concentration camp, at least the labor part of it.
I'm sure they were. I'll tell you, there's a wonderful book by Linda Hunt called Secret Agenda. We have a four-tape set where I actually interview Linda Hunt several places, and some of the leading people within the Space Energy, in fact, Agency. In fact, the man for whom the U.S. Space Agency was named, I think his name was Dornberger or something.
Dornberger, yeah.
He was a major Nazi war criminal who should have been tried and convicted, and he wasn't. And we named our space agency after him. And the average American has no idea, but that four-tape set on the Operation Paperclip, and then, of course, we have a little section on that in the book, The Medusa File. So help us get the word out, will you, Ray?
Yeah, I'll keep doing it.
Hey, look, thanks very much for calling.
Thanks.
Good night. God bless. And let's go to, let's see, is this Daryl from Johnston?
It's Johnstown, not
Johnstown.
Johnston.
I'm sorry.
I don't know where Johnston is.
Okay, fine. Johnstown.
Never heard of the place.
Right, go ahead.
Okay, listen, I just wondered why, and I was talking to your screener. He said you have spoken a lot about this particular subject, the International Mid-Continent Trade Corridor.
Right.
And, you know, it's a highway that's going to go through Mexico, through the United States, into Canada.
Right.
And I have been on hundreds and hundreds of programs. I have a special radio where I can pick up other states and things like that. And no one wants to speak about it. I've been on Drudge. I've been on the Bloomberg. I've been on the trucking, you know, the trucking network. I've been on, spoken to the National Rifle Association. No one wants to speak about this particular situation.
Well, of course.
And I'm wondering, is there a gag order?
Well, I think that many of these people want to stay on the air. Of course, we don't get a salary for what we do. In fact, we have to pay for our radio time, and that's why we can tell you it really is true. There is this plan for this the NAFTA highway, call it what you will, and it is part of this overall plan to merge Mexico, the United States, and Canada into a North American Union. It's a long-term plan by the internationalists, and this, of course, then merges into their plan. Eventually, they'll unite the southern part of our hemisphere. They've already united Europe, Asia. They're working in Africa, and they really want a world government. And that's what all of this, the reason why we haven't enforced our immigration laws, the reason why we have this security and prosperity partnership, that's SPP.gov for our people that like to check it out on the Internet, www.spp.gov. And we have, of course, a four-tape set that goes into this great detail. And we actually carry a book by Jerome Corsi, who's the one who's really written about this, called Minuteman. And we're just carrying the book now, a very important book. And I agree with you. Nobody wants to talk about it because they don't want the people to know.
No, they don't. They want to keep us blind. I have spoken to many, many people. Like I said, I've spoken to probably your top radio programs in the United States. I've also spoken to Gil Crest, the founder of the Minuteman,
right,
about this, and I've gotten many websites from them for people to discover. If you'd like me, I could give you four quick ones.
Why don't you get four quick ones? We'll let you go, but give us the four quick ones where people can go to get the information on the NAFTA corridor, or call it what you will. Go ahead.
All right. KeepTexasMoving.com.
KeepTexasMoving.com.
Okay. NASCOCorridor.com.
NASCOCorridor.com.
Okay. WMD.com.
Mm-hmm.
And SPP.gov. Okay, now, you might not understand some of these websites. Someone will give you an actual video where they're trying to convince you that the reason that they're widening this highway is because of accidents and the traffic. That's not really what it's all up to.
It's
not what
right.
It's about. It's about losing our sovereignty.
And that's what it's about. In one phrase, you said it all. There are people at the highest levels of our government working within the Trilateral Commission and the Council on Foreign Relations and the Bilderbergers and certainly with so many other organizations who have no loyalty to America. They want a one-world government, and this is the stepping stone to that, along the way to that. And they know the American people don't want to give up their freedom. They don't want to give up our Constitution. They don't want to raise our living standards to that of the Mexican peasant. But that's exactly what the elitists want. They want a world fascist system where they're the rulers and we're the slaves.
You know, I've even contacted the National Rifle Association, and I said, you know, I gave them the websites, and I said, you know what they said to me? They said, well, that's not really our forte.
I know.
But we'll look into it. And I said, you know what? You're going to lose your Second Amendment. You know what? It is your forte. That's one of the results. And one of the first ones going to hit is your independent truckers, and then your unions are going to go. Because they want people to come in here through Mexico to work under minimum wage. That's going to undermine all your unions. Your new money monetary system will be the UNERO. I mean, there's so many things. We have a company in India right now, the country of India, that is training truckers, semi-truckers, to drive without United States people. You know, this is... There's so much involved, and I'm so glad that you're going to speak about it, and I wish you would speak more about it, because other radio stations refuse to do so, and I don't know if there is actually a gag order on it, and people are afraid to talk about it, But the more you talk about it, the best you can do.
Well, I'll tell you what, you can call Rush Limbaugh and try to talk about this, and you'll get laughed off or cut off.
Well, let me tell you something about one of his buddies. You know,
right.
One of his buddies is not Rush Limbaugh. The one that's on before him, Sean Hannity.
Right.
He has what he calls these freedom concerts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he had a freedom concert the last time. Now, I listened to it. But I was not the caller, but I was listening to a caller that called into him through his Freedom Concert. Now, you know, keep in mind, this is a man that's probably got probably one of the best research centers of any. He's got television and he has radio. He has both. He's probably got one of the biggest research centers available to anyone through radio or television. And this guy called him up and he said, I would like to talk about the International Trade Corridor. And he says, I have no idea what you're talking about. Goodbye. And he hung up on the guy.
Daryl, you just get people listening to our program because you're going to get the truth here, not only about what you're talking about, but about so many other things. But we got a whole board full of things. But keep up the good work. You keep calling and suggest they listen to Radio Liberty, okay?
Thank you.
Good night. God bless. And let's go to Carol calling from Fort Thomas, Kentucky. Hi, Carol.
Well, that gentleman knows too much.
Okay.
He called in. He didn't say the magic word. The magic word is the Liberty Amendment. Have you ever heard of that?
Oh, I certainly have. I heard of that 40 years ago.
Yes, indeed. First thing I ever learned that many years ago, and everything else that you've been talking about. But there's only one group in Washington that still promotes it, and it's Ron Paul.
And, of course, for the listeners out there, the Liberty Amendment was to do away, of course, with the IRS.
Well, that's one of the things, but also they need to understand regional government.
Right.
That's where we lost our sovereignty. We don't, the founders gave us 48 first, and then, of course, 50 after Alaska and Hawaii went in. 48 states, their sovereignty. But over the years, when we got two new states, of course, and people that understood how to control the money, well, we took a triple. Did we get a triple whammy in 1913 when we got the
you got the Federal
Reserve,
and the income tax,
and then
the Sherman Act.
Well, Federal Reserve, that was the income tax. 16th Amendment, which was never ratified, and the 17th Amendment, which is just, they have just begun to see the importance of that 17th Amendment.
Okay.
They just added that to the Liberty
you're
Amendment.
Absolutely right. And it's certainly the whole idea is to let people understand that the 17th Amendment was doing away with this whole concept of states' rights.
With the sovereign state.
Right.
Yes, and we no longer deal with the states. And I had people go into the Kentucky legislature who understood this. I can't think of the gentleman's name anymore, but I took that down to Kentucky, and the gentleman that came in from Indianapolis was a tall, dignified, brilliant man. Reginald Bass was his name. He's dead now. But that's the ticket.
Well,
the Liberty Amendment.
I think that what we need to do is get back to states' rights, but what we need to do is teach you the Constitution, and I got to run, Carol.
Okay.
It's late back there in Kentucky, but God bless you. Thanks so much for calling.
All right.
Bye-bye. Let's go to Kevin, who's calling from Texas. Hi, Kevin. How are you doing?
Dr. Bill, Dr.
Spain,
I
don't want
you to
go ahead.
You've got a doctor tomorrow.
Yeah, you got a terrible connection. You got a terrible connection there. Go ahead.
I just said,
Kevin, I said you sound like you're in a barrel.
Yeah, I'm good. Okay. Thanks, Dr. Spain.
All right, bye-bye.
Yeah.
And, of course, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. And I'm sorry, Kevin, but I just couldn't understand what you're saying. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Hi, Bart. Bart from Carmel. How are you doing?
Doing fine, sir. How are you tonight?
I'm doing fine, thanks.
I have an economics question for you regarding some news that came out this week in California. But first, just a little bit more on Dornberger. You mentioned SS General Dornberger. That was Walter Dornberger. He ran the Dora prison camp in Germany, where they manufactured the V-1 and V-2 rockets that
right.
came out on London, and was notorious for working his Jewish slaves to death. And he ended up as chairman of Bell Helicopter. And it's known that somebody that was at a party with Lady Bird Johnson and Walter Dornberger in the either late 50s or early 60s, at a time when Bell Helicopter was doing poorly financially, someone mentioned that fact to him, that Bell Helicopter was on the brink of going under, and this was just barely prior to Vietnam. And Walter Dornberger, the ex-SS general, now running Bell Helicopter, is reported to have replied something along the lines of, well, not for long. Because they knew that they were getting all the pieces in place for the Vietnam War, just as they always do before any war, planned out all the, you know, the pieces of the chess players all in place. And
you know, that's really so hard for people to realize, but we have a wonderful interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty in our 4-tape set on the Kennedy assassination, and Fletcher Prouty, Colonel Prouty, told me that, you know, that in 1946 and 1947, we sent massive amounts of military equipment that was stored on Okinawa in preparation for the possible invasion of the Japanese mainland. We sent massive amounts of that material, first of all, to South Korea in preparation for the Korean War. This was 46-47, and the other half to Ho Chi Minh in preparation for the Vietnam War. But we had to create Ho Chi Minh before we could have a war there. And people find it difficult to believe anything could be that evil. But then, who brought the Ayatollah Khomeini to power? Well, go ahead, pick up the story there.
Oh, okay. My question, Dr. Stan, regards some economic news that came out of California this week, very significant, which is in the month of August, home sales are reported to have dropped 30% from the previous month, which is a huge drop, and I believe it's the just the start of what we're going to see. Now, my question, Dr. Stan, is when a homeowner pays their property taxes to the state, the property taxes are based on the sale price of the home. Is that correct?
Let's see. If you sell a home, yes, and the property taxes will be based upon, I think it's 1% of whatever you would pay for the house.
Okay. So, therefore, a person who pays, or a new buyer who has just purchased a home for $100,000 that the previous owner had purchased for $400,000, the new buyer will just be paying taxes to the state based on the $100,000 purchase. Is that correct?
Well, if you could get it for $100,000, but the prices have not yet dropped that far.
Not yet.
They may, down the line, drop 50. They could even drop 60 or 70%. I doubt that they're going to be that much of a drop, but it may very well be. Who knows what's going to happen? We know that certainly the property in Tokyo, which was dropped, you know, in 1990-1991, about 90%. And, of course, so many of the Japanese were impoverished at that time. And then they learned about these economic cycles for the first time, which is why to this very date most people in Japan will not invest. They're saving their money for the difficult times that they fear that they went through during that tremendous dropout in 1990-1991 in Japan. I don't think we're going to get quite that much of a drop. But you may be right. We'll just have. If that doesn't make you feel better, probably you'll only be paying your estate property taxes on what you pay, which will be about 1%, which would be only about $1,000 a month.
Well,
$1,000 a year.
It just occurred to me, Dr. Stan, as I was pondering this, that as the real estate bubble bursts, wouldn't this mean a dramatic decrease in the tax revenue for the state of California and all others?
You're absolutely right, and they're scared to death about this.
Okay. Thank you, sir, and have a nice evening.
Good night. God bless. Bye. Bye-bye. All right, fine. And, of course, Marsh is bringing out that we may very well be moving towards difficult financial times, and I really believe he's absolutely right. How soon the value of the property will drop and how far it will drop, nobody knows. But a lot of people do believe it can go down 30 or 40% and maybe a lot more than that. We're entering difficult financial times, and it's not going to be just the United States. It's the whole world. But what do you do? How do you get out of difficult financial times? Why, you create a war. That's what they always do. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course, this is the time when I need to remind our listeners out across America that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and we do hope that many of you out there will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. So, if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family, why, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, and of course, you'll receive the 4 best tapes or CDs of the month in the monthly newsletter. Then, of course, I want to remind our listeners we are having an all-day seminar here. It's going to be on the 29th of October. It's a Sunday, but we're going to have Constance Cumby, who has written extensively on the New AIDS movement, and she's going to be actually giving 2 talks. We're going to have Chris Pinto, and he's going to be talking about the secret mysteries of America's beginning. And we've got some other excellent speakers, and I'm sure you'll enjoy this. We're going to start about 8:30 in the morning and go through to 5, and we'll be serving lunch. We'll be happy to know if you're coming. If you're interested in coming, why, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. If you're coming from outside the area, why, we'll send you a list of motels, hotels, and, of course, a map on how to get there. And then, of course, we do want to mention that we would like to be able to reprint Dr. Dennis Cuddy's book. And if you'd like, of course, to get a full case of his book, The Secret Records Revealed, and now the book, for the first time, has an index in it. It has an epilogue to bring it right up to date. This is really one of the most important books in my library, and with quotations and insight that you will not find elsewhere. Secret Records Revealed by Dr. Dennis Cuddy. If you'd like to participate in helping us get that back in print, our number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Our first caller this evening, the gentleman who called from Colorado Springs, had actually mentioned a video, the 10-hour video, They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. This is put together by Pastor Joe Schimmel, who started out as a lyrics writer for rock songs. And he started writing these lyrics for rock songs and strumming on his guitar. And he was writing the most wonderful lyrics. The only trouble was he didn't know the meanings of a lot of the words he was writing down. And his lyrics were getting darker and darker and were beginning to verge on the demonic. And as he began wondering, where am I getting these ideas? Where am I getting these wonderful rhymes? He suddenly realized he was channeling from a demonic spirit. And that brought him into a personal relationship with our Lord. And he's is the pastor of a church in Southern California today. But he's put out some wonderful videos. And our favorite, of course, is They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. We carry several other videos he's put out. His latest DVD is the Da Vinci Con Hollywood's War in America, which I really enjoyed. And I learned so much from this about the Gnostic religion. And how you are seeing within so many of your motion pictures, Gnosticism at its very best. And, of course, glorifying Satan. But if you don't understand it, you're not going to get the message. You will learn a great deal from The Da Vinci Con by Pastor Joe Schimmel. This is a DVD. Of course, we have so many other things. Go to our website at www.radioliberty.com. That's www.radioliberty.com. You can listen there to our radio programs 3 hours a day. We also do a program early in the morning at AmericaNewsNet.com, one from 3 to 4 every afternoon Pacific time on GCNLive.com. And then, of course, our programs are archived, and you can pull them down. They're free. Any help you can give us, we'd appreciate, but we put them up there. They're archived, they're on MP3, And we want you to get that information. We want you to get it to other people. So your job is to tell us about our program, get them to listen, and hopefully we convince them that we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men, and, of course, the survival of Christian civilization. And then, of course, remember our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And certainly our website, RadioLiberty.com. RadioLiberty.com, please pray for America. Pray for revival, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests. And our guest this evening is Arthur Birnclough for the Veterans for Constitutional Law. And basically, we're going to be talking about veterans and veterans' rights. And we have so many veterans from the first Gulf War. Of course, we have a lot of veterans going back to Vietnam. But we have a lot of veterans from the first Gulf War that are still ill, and then, of course, now we have the veterans from the second Gulf War. And it's estimated that about 60,000 of them have actually applied for psychological care. They're having all sorts of nightmares and flashbacks and all sorts of emotional problems. This is out of about 180,000 that they're talking about. 60% of those who have applied for veterans' benefits or for veterans' care are having psychological problems. War is a terrible thing. It has a tremendous impact upon people. When you've seen death and when you've killed and escaped death narrowly, it has an impact on you that you may never get over. And then, of course, one of the problems we have with the veterans is that there is an organized effort on the part of the Veterans Administration not to carry out the laws, and the assignment of the Veterans Administration to take care of the wounded and disabled veterans, but to find out sneaky ways of avoiding actually giving veterans benefits and tying them up in endless hearings and of course controversy and denials and not allowing them to have any legal counsel. And I'm going to let Arthur tell you about some of the things going on, because there's an effort to force the government to allow these veterans to have legal counsel, and many of our so-called veterans support organizations, which are supposed to be looking after the veterans, are actually on the other side. They're deceiving the veterans, they're deceiving the public, and they're actually doing everything to cooperate with government officials who are paid large salaries not to provide for our veterans, but to deprive them of what Congress has said they were entitled to. Arthur, thank you so very much for being with us.
Good evening, Dr. Stan. It's a pleasure to be back with you again.
So why don't you just pick up and tell the story of what's going on?
Okay, I have in front of me a letter that one of our board members received from Lisa Bogle, an executive with the Disabled American Veterans Organization, the DAV. And the letter is headed, the heading on the letter is Attorneys in Claim Process. Take action. Here's exactly what it says.
Well, before you read that, could you explain to our listeners what this issue is all about the fact that our veterans cannot have any legal help as they go get into this morass of quicksand, which is what the Veterans Administration is. Explain to them what the problem is, and then
okay.
What the DAV is trying to do.
Okay, the VA has been in existence for 75 years. They just celebrated their 75th outrageous anniversary. And what the DAV is what you call a chartered service organization, chartered by Congress and the Veterans Administration. When I say chartered, it means they have free rent and in any Veterans Administration building or hospital. It means they have free furniture. They have free computer equipment, postage, telephone, stationery, a staff to run the office, a tax-exempt status. It's like a most favored status of about 112 veterans organizations, and we really don't need 112 of them. 40-some-odd of them are chartered, and the most prominent among the chartered ones are the Disabled American Veterans.
Hold that thought right over for just a moment. All right, Arthur, go ahead. You were just saying among the chartered ones of the Disabled
the
American
DAV,
Veterans.
The Disabled American Veterans, the Veterans of Foreign Wars, the American Legion, AMVETS, Vietnam Veterans of America, Marine Corps League. You've got a multitude of them, and that means they can get office space in any of your VA buildings, and they get all these freebies. Now, what do they have to do to earn the freebies, Dr. Stan? They're supposed to give veterans representation in their claims. Now, if they were giving them representation in their claims, there would be no problems, but they are really not giving them representation in their claims. They are being paid off for the lack of representation in their claims, and there is a VA regulation. They call it a law. I call it a VA rule and regulation. It's under United States Code Title 38, which governs veterans' benefits, and it's a set of outrageous rules. A veteran is not allowed to have his own attorney until he gets a final decision from the Board of Veterans' Appeals, and that takes about 7 years. In the meantime, veterans are told you have to go to a service organization, preferably a chartered service organization, to get your representation. You cannot use an attorney. An attorney cannot represent you at any VA hearing. Either you get a service organization or you're on your own. Now, for the first time in 75 years, we have a bill. We have two bills up in front of Congress. One is in front of the House of Representatives, and one is in front of the Senate. Now, the Senate one has passed unanimously due to the very fine work of Senator Larry Craig of Idaho, who I thought was going to be a big disappointment to us, and he turned out to be a pleasant surprise. Now, this is what the letter says, and it came from Lisa Bogle, one of the executives at the Disabled American Veterans. It says, legislation has been introduced in both the House and the Senate, known as the Veterans Choice of Representation Act, H.R., that's House Regulation 4914, and S-2694. These bills would amend Title 38, United States Code, to remove certain limitations on attorney representation of claimants for veterans' benefits and administrative proceedings before the VA. The reason the legislation has been introduced, according to staff from both House and Senate Veterans Affairs Committee, is that veterans have been complaining about not having the right to hire an attorney to represent them during the claims process. The Disabled American Veteran...
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Arthur Stan, and Arthur is simply reading a letter that's being sent out by the DAV, the Disabled American Veterans, to people, to veterans across the country urging them to oppose the legislation that would allow them to have legal counsel. You see, by law, they can't have legal counsel, and so they have to go through 7 long, tedious years, and then, of course, they can get a lawyer at the end of that time. But what do you do to support yourself during the 7 years? So, basically, go ahead, Arthur,
okay.
With this letter written to try to discourage the veterans across America.
Well, generally, the welfare rolls are full of veterans who can't get their benefits, and they go over to the welfare rolls, and this is the reason you've got so many veterans on the welfare rolls. It's because of the treatment they're getting from the VA. Now, the Disabled American Veterans, the DAV, is concerned that the current claims process does not work properly. We believe Congress should focus on correcting the process and not making it more adversarial and legalistic. The question should not be whether veterans have a right to hire an attorney, but how to improve claims processing. Clearly, the solution is not to allow attorneys into the process. The VA benefits delivery system was designed to be open, informal, and helpful to veterans. The goal was to ensure that veterans receive the benefits a grateful nation has provided for them, rather than discourage or inhibit their claims with government red tape or lengthy litigation. Allowing attorneys into the process would interfere with this goal and will create a system that is more adversarial and legalistic and less veteran-friendly. I urge you to write to your representative and senators, urging them to oppose the enactment of this bill and to truly focus the attention of Congress on ways to ensure the process performs in a manner for which it was designed. An ex parte, which means a party of one, non-adversarial system with VA being obligated to provide all benefits allowable under the law. I call this a letter of betrayal, and this is only one of 4 that has come out, but this will give you an idea rather than to read all 4. They're basically saying the same thing on all 4 letters. One is by Mr. Barton, who is the head of the DAV. He's an attorney. Another is by their legislative director, Mr. Violante. He is also an attorney. And another is by Arthur Wilson, their adjutant, who is also an attorney. So you've got 3 out of 4 attorneys. Now, the Veterans Administration has Arthur. As many as 12,000 attorneys working for them. The veteran is not allowed an attorney until he gets a final decision from the Board of Veterans Appeals. So this is what is happening here. And we sent a letter of support out to Larry Craig. He asked me to get some of these smaller veterans organizations and to send them letters of support. I've got a whole bunch of them that we sent them, plus individual veterans. I mean, they've got a couple of bushel baskets full of them that they can dump in front of this committee. And the committee, again, is another story. It's in the House. And your chairman of the House is a man that was handpicked by our president, Steve Beyer of Indiana. And Beyer's hatred of veterans is bordering on the psychopathic right now. He does not like veterans, although he's a veteran himself. But he is a reserve JAG officer. In other words, he's a lawyer. He's a lawyer. He's a JAG officer. He hasn't served one day of combat, and Mr. Bush was very unhappy with Christopher Smith, who was the chairman previously from New Jersey, who is not what we call a veterans advocate, but at least he was somewhat fair-minded. Mr. Bush picked Beyer because he knew that Beyer is in favor of cutting veterans' benefits any way that he possibly can. Now, I sent a letter of support to Senator Craig, and it's reading, I'm thanking you and Ms. Meredith for the opportunity to make this statement on behalf of Veterans for Constitutional Law Limited and America's disabled veterans, whom for more years than I care to remember have been deprived of legal representation by attorneys of their own choice in pursuit of VA disability claims for their injury while serving in the armed forces of the United States. We are aware of the massive mailing by the DAV to try and persuade some of our veteran brothers who are a little slower than the average. The DAV, American Legion, and most of the other chartered National Veterans Service organizations have never really been the lobby for America's veterans, but have been much more the lobby for the VA for obvious reasons. The name of the game for these people, the DAV and some others, are VA freebies. Now, every veteran who is savvy to their game knows about free rent in VA buildings, as I mentioned before, free heating, electricity, air conditioning, furniture, computer equipment, telephone, postage, staffing, tax-exempt status, and every other freebie imaginable, sometimes including seasonal bonuses. Now, what do these service organizations have to do to earn this? Not much. These freebies are not for the representation of veterans and their claims, but for the lack of representation thereof. And they've been fooling disabled vets for decade after decade, and we think it's past due time that the laws were passed to do away with the protected legal turf of the chartered veteran service organizations. Mr. Craig, you can count on our support, and I'm sure every veteran who is mentally competent will certainly back these bills, which will at long last finally grant legal parity to America's veterans. The DAV claims that the outrageous VA claim system is non-adversarial when actually it is non-confrontational. The VA's court, the United States Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims, is little more than a cruel joke on disabled veterans. Since its inception on November of 1988, the number of cases judged in favor of disabled veterans has been so infinitesimally small that it is considered as a joke on American jurisprudence. It is called by most veterans as the court of the VA, and this so-called court was originally created to give veterans judicial review of VA decisions, and it's only dispensed the most narrow interpretation of it possible. In other words, it's an out-and-out fraud, and disabled veterans certainly do need their own attorney representation from the onset of their claims, and the place that it's needed mostly is in the VA's regional offices. Those that are familiar with what has happened in Chicago this last year realize that nothing there has really changed despite the good work of Senators Durbin and Obama. And when the heat was taken off the VA, Chicago Regional Office, things went back to the way that they were before, the same old thievery, and the state of Illinois is dead last once again, as it has been for 20 years. They are dead last in adjudications. And true veterans, attorney representation for veterans on their VA claims would go a long way in upgrading a very shady VA claim system. So please contact us for any help that we can be of you in this quest for justice. Yours very truly, Arthur N. Burnclough, Executive Director.
Well, I think that, of course, it's a very worthwhile thing. And the tragedy is, of course, you always hear our politicians saying how much they support our veterans, oh, how they appreciate the sacrifice they've made. And it's all hypocrisy, because when push comes to shove, when they come back disabled and crippled and their mind and body destroyed, everything is done to block them in many instances from getting adequate care, getting adequate certainly compensation. And this whole idea that you get into a system up against lawyers and you can't have a lawyer, what could be more unfair? And the fact that the Veterans Administration organizations, these subsidiaries, which pretend to be actually representing the veterans and are not, that they would be trying to block this legislation should be a sign to everybody out there in the listening audience that this legislation is not only important, it's needed, but it may very well be able to solve the problem. And they're frightened to death, because actually if they had to pay the veterans what they're entitled to, why, there wouldn't be so much money for all the boondoggles that our politicians have. So, again, if you're out there in the listening audience and you have any thoughts on these things, our number is 1-800-1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, Arthur, what sort of response are you getting as you get this message out to veterans across the country? Do they recognize they're being sold out by the disabled American veterans?
For the most part, they do. Dr. Stan, for the most part, people recognize it, but I get people who say, oh, the DAV's been telling me what to do for years, and I say, why? And they can't answer that question, but you see, here's the plan, Dr. Stan. They know they have Mr. Beyer, and the plan is to boondoggle this bill and not let it get out on the floor of Congress for a vote where it would win overwhelmingly. In other words, they're going to do the same to this. They're going to try to do the same to this that they did to the World War II veterans, the survivors of Bataan and Corregidor, where for 60-some-odd years they've had a bill come up to indemnify the survivors of Bataan and Corregidor who were taken to Japan for 4 or 5 years of slave labor. And every time that bill comes up, it is boondoggled, and it's never gotten out on the floor of Congress once for a vote. And they're planning to do the same thing on here, and they've got the extreme cooperation of Mr. Beyer. And if they get away with this, you know, it's going to set the veterans movement back for years.
Well, if I could suggest, Arthur, what you really want to do is, you know, get the people in his district, even you have to bring veterans from all across the country, have them go into his district and expose him for what he is, because most people are sympathetic with the veterans. And, you know, if he sees that he may very well lose his seat up there, because, of course, what he's done and his betrayal of the American veterans, why, of course, he would either change or he would be voted out of office. But the one thing most of the politicians, they're not dedicated to the right. They're not dedicated to the left. They're just dedicated to staying in Congress with all the freebies and all of the benefits and all the free medical care and all the pension benefits. And if he realizes that he may lose those because he's antagonized the veterans, who knows?
We've been having veterans go in from all over the country into Indiana and talk. And talk about what Mr. Beyer is doing and try to urge the voters there to get rid of this man. But, you know, who knows? He's been around now, I believe, for 8 years.
I would target him. I would make his life miserable and let him know that if he doesn't do what's right, well, he may get reelected this time, but he's not going to get reelected 2 years from now. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Arthur Bernclau. We're talking about the organized effort on the part of the Veterans Administration with the help of politicians, certainly in both houses of Congress, to prevent the veterans from getting what they are authorized by law. Now, it isn't that most of our congressmen are bad. It's the way the game is played. I think that, you know, the fact that they were able to get such a good support in the Senate is encouraging. I think that they could probably get the same sort of support in the House of Representatives. But the way they set the system up, if one person can block it, and it sounds like they've got this one congressman who's been put there for no other purpose than, of course, to actually cheat the veterans out of literally billions of dollars of what they have coming to them because of their personal sacrifice and, in many cases, personal loss.
Yes, and this congressman, I said, has been there for 8 years, and he's not what you call a very popular congressman, but he's gotten himself elected 3 times now, and 3-4 times. And it's not a very healthy situation if we can't get this thing passed. Not a very healthy situation at all. And I'm telling veterans that they have only themselves to blame unless they really press this issue as hard as they can. And this Congressman Steve Beyer is also cooperating with the Veterans Disability Benefits Commission, which we've talked about on previous programs, the one that's headed by former General Scott. And that particular Veterans Disability Benefits Commission is made up of 13 members. They've asked me to be a member there, and I said there's no way that I can work with that bunch. 9 of them were appointed by the Republican Party, 5 by Bush himself, and the Democrats have appointed the other 4. And the quality of the 4 that were appointed by the Democrats is even worse than what the Republicans have appointed. So here we have a totally stacked commission, and they're trying to do something there on buying out disabled veterans. In other words, anyone who is on a disability, they are trying to buy them out so that they don't have to pay these people off for their injury. They're offering the veterans now, anyone who's got a 10 or 20% disability, they're going to start with that, and they're offering them 30% of the money that they would actually get over a lifetime for a fast buyout. Now, if any veteran goes for this, he will not be getting his injury treated at the veterans hospital anymore. It will preclude him from any treatment at the Veterans Hospital, and if his disability or his injury becomes worse, once he signs this, he is precluded from getting any disability from the government. Now, we feel that it's not only going to be limited to 10 and 20%, we feel it's going to go from there. And the idea for this, if you can remember, Dr. Stan, do you remember somebody by the name of David Stockman?
Sure, I remember David Stockman. He was he had something to do with the economics in the Reagan
administration. Oh, yeah. They called him the budget whiz. Now, fiscal conservatives called him the budget whiz, and they rallied around his concept of smaller government, which is not a bad idea.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment, Doctor. Okay. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Arthur's talking about it. This just one of the other things they're going to really do to try to fleece the veterans is they're going to offer them a buyout, and the buyout basis is this. If you have maybe a 30% disability, and you'll get this for the rest of your life because of your injury, they will buy you out at 30 cents on the dollar of what you'd get over a lifetime. But once you, of course, accept that money, and I suppose we'll be talking, what are we talking about, $20,000, $30,000 in cash?
Something like that.
All right, so let's imagine you get $30,000. Then, henceforth, you won't be able to get treated in VA hospitals, and you've given up all rights to a claim. Now, this is a gimmick. There are a lot of people short on funds, and they say, well, gee, wouldn't it be wonderful to get my
yes.
hands on that money right now? This is how they're getting people to sign up to go in the military. This is what the Ford Motor Company and General Motors are doing to their employees. Ford is offering $140,000 to walk away from your job, from your pension, from your health benefits. We're going to give you $140,000 in cash right now. You better take it, though, in a hurry. General Motors is doing the same thing, perhaps not quite as generous for many. What you've done is you sign away your rights to that if you're an employee.
Exactly.
But you sign away your veterans' rights, and a lot of these people hurting for money may very well do that, and you pick up the story there, Arthur.
Well, most of them are very much hurting for money, and it's a very enticing offer for the veteran who is hurting for money. Now, this concept of the smaller government, which it was enshrined in Stockman's phrase called starving the beast. Now, Stockman, he was the director of the Office of Management and Budget, and this is the real culprit, not the VA. The VA, how shall we compare this? Okay, the VA is Pinocchio. The Office of Management and Budget is Geppetto. Geppetto pulls the strings and Pinocchio dances. Now, this was during the Reagan administration, and this man, Stockman, is very well remembered for labeling military retirement pay as scandalous and calling it a dangerous drain on the economy. Now, Stockman then, he proposed a lump sum buyout of military retirement pay because he deemed it less expensive to pay once than to pay for life. He even toyed with the idea of buyouts for Social Security payments, but the Social Security lawyers are like unionized. There's about 5,000 of them, and they couldn't pull that with Social Security recipients. Now, Stockman's buyouts never happened, but his cost-cutting ideology lives on today in the person of arch-conservative Grover Norquist, who urges the current administration to get government down to the size where we can drown it in the bathtub. President George W. Bush, while spending hundreds of billions on the war in Iraq, is echoing the Stockman-Norquist mantra. And President Bush often speaks of controlling spending on entitlement programs, and he lumps Medicare, Medicaid, and veterans benefits under the entitlement umbrella by consistently using them in the same sentence. The campaign of disinformation has been used to sell the concept that all three of these programs are some kind of welfare, and they're out of control, and therefore should fall under a sharp budget knife. Now, this ignores the reality that Medicare is actually an insurance program, and veterans' disability compensation is provided to those who have been wounded or injured while serving the country. Now, one veterans organization has come out against this. The Veterans of Foreign Wars, the VFW, has a decent director, Peter S. Gaitan. He's the director of health care and benefits. He's the director over at the American Legion. And the Veterans of Foreign Wars has a good director in there, and they have come out against these budget proposals, and they've both testified before Congress that the Bush administration is trying to balance the budget on the back of America's veterans. Now, the Stockman-Norquist philosophy has actually trickled down to the Department of Veterans Affairs, the VA, and the Secretary of Veterans Affairs is Jim Nicholson, who is a multimillionaire land developer and former chairman of the Republican National Committee. Nicholson has consistently asked for less funding than the VA needs to treat eligible veterans, and a perfect example is what you were talking about in the beginning, veterans who have emotional and health problems and psychiatric problems and even concussions and brain injuries. They have cut the funding now for brain injuries from $14 million last year. They cut it to $7 million when they were asking actually for $19 million. They've cut it in half, and they cannot get enough funding for counselors for PTSD and people who have been damaged psychologically by the war. The Department of Defense will not release that money.
Oh, wait, I thought somebody just called and wanted to get your telephone number. Would you like to get that out for us?
Oh, certainly. We're Veterans for Constitutional Law. We could be reached at 631-474-4261.
One more time.
Veterans for Constitutional Law, 631 area code, 474-4261. And we're always available to you.
Well, this is Arthur Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Arthur Byrne. Cloud, go right ahead, Arthur.
Well, actually, Stockman's conservative political appointees, Nicholson, and the other conservative political appointees who run the VA, Stockman's little-noticed recommendations have caught the eye of the VA, and they are going full speed ahead to try to arrange these buyouts. Now, the key to the argument of the buyouts is a report from the VA's Office of Inspector General, which recommended that the VA revise disability ratings criteria to reflect the expected lifetime impairment so that VA could offer lump sum payments to veterans. And the VA is the second largest government agency with a budget of over $80 billion for fiscal year 2007. The largest portion of the VA budget goes to disability compensation for veterans wounded or injured while on military active duty. And lump sum buyouts of VA disability compensation could save the government billions of dollars every year. Now, last week, the outrageous Veterans Disability Benefits Commission met in Washington, D.C., and once again took up the issue of lump sum buyouts. The VDBC, as I said before, was created by the Bush administration in 2003 and tasked with determining whether death or disability of a veteran should be compensated and at what level, if any. Secretary Nicholson, VA Secretary Nicholson, supported the buyout concept in a response to the Attorney General report, saying the VA will review prior VA studies concerning lump sum payments to veterans with disability ratings and support the VDBC as it considers this public policy issue. And the VDBC has tasked the Center for Naval Analysis, the CNA, with studying the concept of lump sum buyouts. In the CNA's literature review, they write of substantial potential savings associated with a lump sum disability settlement, both in terms of reduced debt cost and administrative burden. And there's a great deal of support on Capitol Hill for the lump sum buyouts. Leading the charge is Representative Steve Beyer, who we mentioned before, Republican of Indiana, chairman of the House Committee on Veterans Affairs, who sees the buyouts as a logical cost-cutting move. When it comes to the work of the VDBC and cost-cutting moves, they should study, Beyer has stated, I think everything should be on the table. But there's opposition. Not one veteran service organization, believe it or not, they're all against it because the veteran service organization sees the goose that lays the golden egg.
Hold that thought right there, Arthur. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. My guest is Arthur Burnclough. We're talking about this effort to buy out veterans with a disability claim. And they would, if you are certainly are getting a 20 or 30% disability, they would offer you maybe figuring actuarially how long you're going to live, how much it's going to cost the government, maybe offer you 30% of that, and we'll give you the money right now. Well, of course, there might be things to be said on both sides of that. I think Arthur is saying that most of the veterans organizations are against that.
Oh, yes. They're against that because they're afraid they're going to kill the goose that lays the golden eggs.
Right.
No more veterans around, no more veteran service agencies around.
All right, fine. Now, well, I tell them one more time, if you're out there in the listening audience and you'd like to talk to Arthur about having something to do with the veterans' claims, and, of course, the sort of treatments you get from the Veterans Administration, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But right now, apparently, is this thing going to fly? Are they going to buy out the veterans or not?
Well, here's the way it would work. It looks like they're going to start in with 10 and 20%. How far it's going to go is going to depend on how they do with the 10 and 20%. Now, initially, the Veterans Disability Benefits Commission will look at lump sum payments to the veterans who receive 10 or 20% disability payments. And those veterans currently receiving $112 or $218 a month. The buyouts would be based on the life expectancy with only a percentage of the total value being offered. Like the most commonly mentioned is a 50% buyout, but they're not going to go for a 50. They've mentioned primarily 30% as a more prudent offer. An example, if a veteran gets $218 a month from the VA and has a life expectancy of 20 years, his total compensation would be $52,320. The proposed buyouts would offer a cash settlement of somewhere between $15,600 and $26,160. One of the main arguments for lump sum payments, besides saving the government money, is that the veteran can then invest his buyout and do so much better financially in the long run. That's what they're claiming. However, the CNA says the literature doesn't support that theory and told the VDBC younger, less educated, and lower-ranking personnel would be more inclined to accept a VA lump sum offer, and funds received in lump sum payments are often spent on consumer goods rather than spent on long-term investments, and the decision to take a lump sum payment may often not be an informed one. You'd get a lot of people who would be desperate and need the money badly just to live on who would take that lump sum payment. Now, if the veteran's service-connected condition worsened, would he be able to file a claim, or would the condition now become compensable? No, they would not. Many veterans will initially receive a 10 or 20% disability rating and then see a jump as high as 100% as they age and their particular condition worsens. Now, would the VA continue to treat the veteran for the condition even though he wasn't getting compensation? Not on your life. Once he signs this, he's out. Or would the condition now be considered not to exist? The cost savings to the government would be great, and the cost to the veteran could be catastrophic. Now, what about another condition that occurs that's secondary to the original service-connected condition? How would that fit in, Dr. Stan? An example would be a veteran who receives a disability for a bad knee, and that knee gets worse with age, and back problems can arise, and that could constitute a secondary disability that could be compensated. Once he signs, you can't get back. That's pretty much what they would do. Would the VA stop at the 10% and 20% disability ratings? Many feel this would just be the beginning, and once the door is open, all disability ratings could be up for a lump sum buyout. Now, would the buyouts be retroactive, or would only new veterans fall under the plan? The largest savings for the government would be gained by including veterans currently receiving disability. And would the buyouts be mandatory or optional? They would probably start off as optional. The savings for the government would be greatest with a mandatory buyout plan. And the same group who would institute an optional plan, you can be sure they're going to follow up with a mandatory plan. And could this be imposed on veterans? The biggest question now is, how can you buy out a disability? Veterans receive disability compensation because of their ability to perform everyday tasks, have been diminished by wounds or injuries sustained while on active duty. The compensation paid by the VA is meant to make up for income lost due to the disabilities. A lump sum payment is anti-ethical to the concept of ongoing compensation for an ongoing disability, and veterans and their families cannot underestimate the power being wielded by the Veterans Disability Benefits Commission. They are truly an instrument for radical changes in the VA disability system, and their recommendations could forever alter the system of veterans' benefits in this country, leaving our veterans, their widows and children, with fewer benefits and less compensation. And is this what our veterans deserve? Now, again, I say veterans' benefits, they are not a gift. They are not a welfare program. They are earned through service to this country, and they must not be diminished in any way. And Washington watchers feel that the VDBC will approve the concept of lump sum payment buyouts. And we know the White House will approve. But, again, will Congress fall into line? And that's just another thing we should all think about when we go to the polls in November.
All right. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or 464-8295. That's 464-8295. If you have a question or comment about a veteran's disability, and ladies and gentlemen, there is a conscious effort to put the squeeze on our veterans so they cut back benefits to the Veterans Administration. At the same time, we have all these boondoggles over there in Iraq. There are billions of dollars that have disappeared, and nobody knows what happened to it. There are several trillion dollars that have disappeared at the Defense Department, and nobody has any idea. Oh, shucks, we just don't know what's happening. Now, in other countries, they call this corruption. Here, it's just, well, we're supposed to believe it's incompetence. Arthur's telephone number, again, is 631-474-4261. That's 631-474-4261. 4261. Do you have an address you'd like to get? Do you have a website, Arthur?
Yes. I have an address. It's Veterans for Constitutional Law Limited, and we are located at 112 Jefferson Avenue in Port Jefferson, New York. 112 Jefferson Avenue, Port Jefferson, New York. Our zip code is 11777. 11777. Now, I have an email address. I don't have my own website, but you'll find me on the Firebase Network website. So I could always be accessed through the Firebase Network website. My email, if anyone wants to email me, it's Bernklau, that's Bernklau, at opt, O-P-T, online.net. That's Bernklau, Bernklau, at optonline.net. And telephone number I can be reached at is 631-474-4261, 631-474-4261. And we'd like to hear from you and donations that you give are fully tax deductible.
All right, fine. And Chris, the trouble is, if you have a veteran's claim and you're getting to the system, you have no idea how to play the system. The system is stacked against you, and of course, you'll be intimidated, you'll be frustrated. At least talk to Arthur. He and the people who work with him put their time in full time without compensation because they want to help veterans. They're veterans themselves, and they know how corrupt the system is. So certainly if you need help, why, Veterans for Constitutional Law is there, and it's there to help the veterans who are not going to get help from so many of the other veterans organizations, which have simply been compromised. And unfortunately, and we see this in whether it be church groups and certainly in conservative or liberal organizations, they are infiltrated and taken over by many times people who have exactly a philosophy exactly opposite to their own. Well,
you see,
Arthur, you get a lot of requests for information from veterans?
Oh, yes. Yeah. All day long I'm answering calls on that. And you see, a lot of people want to take the VA to court. Now, you can take them to court, but if you take them to court for your disability, that is considered a Title 38 claim. And even if you win, they will take that case and they will remand it to the Veterans Court, and you're right back on the rat wheel. You're right back where you started. The best way to get the VA into court and get them into court effectively is when you take them into court for due process violations. It takes it out of the realm of a Title 38 claim or constitutional violations or possibly a malpractice, something that happens in the hospital, which causes you physical or psychological harm, or the RICO laws, Racketeering Influence Corruption Organization. Now, this is a good one, and the VA gets very panicky when somebody takes them in on RICO laws, because if there is a service organization involved, it's almost a sure conviction that they're going to be convicted if there's a service organization involved on the collusion part and on the destruction of records. That's almost a sure thing. You can nail them on destruction of records. And
of course, you're talking about the collusion between the Veterans Organization and the VA.
That's correct.
And have you actually won some of these RICO
cases? Oh, you bet we have. You bet we have. This is the way we're advising people to go. If they can prove collusion, or they can prove that they were swindled out of a lot of money due to the VA and the service organization, there's your case right there.
And of course, the fact is that they always hide the records. They lie about them. They say, oh, there's no record, it never happened. They simply either hide in the records or they destroy the records so that you won't have a legitimate claim. And how could you have anything that corrupt? Ladies and gentlemen, our founding fathers recognized that government by its very nature is corrupt, and that's why they wanted to limit the power of government so it cannot be misused against the people. And that's exactly what's going on today.
Well, you know, for years and years, people asked for their military records from Military Records in St. Louis, Missouri. That's the big place on Page Boulevard. And they were told, your records were burned in the famous fire in St. Louis in 1973. Now, granted, there was a fire, but no record was destroyed. There was some smoke damage, there was some water damage, but every single record was readable. And many, many years later, the colonel who was in charge of that records bureau in St. Louis was deposed in court in St. Louis and admitted under oath there that this was a ploy on veterans who were seeking claims. It was a ploy to tell them that their records were burned. And it's a disgrace that they go through methods like this to hide the truth.
Now, are there lawyers who specifically specialize in this sort of field, who know how the system works, who know how to counter it?
There are some lawyers who can do this, but there's a lot of lawyers groups around who are like in cahoots with the VA, because I'll tell you what a lot of them do. If they write a brief out for you, they are allowed to bill the government under the Equal Access to Justice Act. And they could write about three or four briefs and bill the government for anywhere between $1,500 to $4,000 for writing out a brief. And they could do this three, four, maybe even five times. And they get paid each time, while the veteran may not get paid. And it's the Equal Access to Justice Act, EAJA, I believe it's called. And there's one particular group called NOVA, National Organization for Veterans Advocates. I ask veterans when they go speaking to any attorney or any law firm, asking if they're members of NOVA, and if they say they are members of NOVA, turn around and run the other way as fast as you can, because here's what will happen. They'll represent you in the regional office. They'll represent you You know, this is after 7 years. They'll represent you in the Board of Veterans' Appeals. They'll even represent you in the Court of Veterans' Appeals. But when you want to take the case into a real Article III court, like Federal District Court, they'll say to you, I don't want to go down that road. And they will leave you high and dry, and you'll be sitting there with your case and no attorney representation. So ask them in the beginning, are you a member of NOVA? If they say yes, run the other way.
Well, it's unfortunate, but sometimes we have people, in practicing the law who really don't believe in any higher power. They don't believe in morality. It's simply a game.
They've made their deal.
Many of the things that go on today are simply a game that's played. And, you have your plaintiff's attorney, and you have your defense attorney, and you have your judge, but they're all in cahoots together. What we need is a system really based upon justice. That is what it really should be about. But justice means that it suggests that there is an ultimate authority, and that ultimate authority is God and right and wrong, and they don't believe in it.
Look, if the VA did what they were supposed to do, there'd be no need for lawyers. But what we have now is a system where the fox is guarding the hen house.
And how many lawyers does the VA have to utilize against the veterans?
About 12,000.
And all drawing a salary, and of course, wouldn't it be better to give that money to the veterans?
It would solve the problem. You know, a lawyer gets paid maybe about, from the VA, at least 80 to 100 to 140, 150,000. And this vast amount of lawyers, you're right, that money would solve all the veterans' problems.
Well, unfortunately, there are people, I think, who do not want to solve the veterans' problems. And the poor veterans, unsophisticated in matters such as this, is simply a pawn in a vicious and deadly game.
Well, I'm not going to knock all the veterans' organizations. I can say some decent, positive things, like the cheapest place in town to get a drink is the VFW bar. That's my praise. That's it.
Well, I think it's really a tragic situation, Arthur, but I appreciate the fact that you're out there and you have a group of veterans working with you, totally dedicated.
Oh, we sure do. We've got a good bunch, and we're in every state in the country now.
All right, fine. So you've really expanded quite a bit then since we first started talking.
I was almost out of it after that Bell's palsy stroke. I almost had a hostile takeover here, but the board decided they'd rather work with me, even if I was on my deathbed, than work with the guy they wanted to replace me with.
All right, fine. You hang on here. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up tonight's program here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We've got Jack calling from Michigan. Jack, did you have a question for our guest?
Yes, I do, but before I get to the question, I wanted to point out something that I heard on the Freedom 21 program, Dr. Stan. This is about a year ago, actually. They interviewed a Gary Robinson from Pennsylvania, and he discovered that at the federal and state level, there are these legislative service bureaus, which are comprised entirely of lawyers, bar, esquire, attorneys, and they're the ones who craft all the statutory public policy acts, and then they hand them over to the legislators. So there's this misconception that the people who are elected are the actual lawmakers. So I wanted to ask Arthur if he would recommend to the audience never to vote a lawyer into government that's running for office.
How do you feel about electing lawyers in the legislature?
I think that's a great, beautiful idea, not to put them in the legislature.
All right, there
but you
are,
know,
right.
It's not going to happen because almost everybody in the legislature is a lawyer.
I think you got your answer, Jack. What we need to do is get people to understand that we need people who fear God in our positions of authority, not people who are part of the system, and unfortunately, so many lawyers are. Yes, occasionally you'll find an honest lawyer, but then... occasionally you find a hen with teeth, too, but it doesn't happen very often.
Dr. Stan, one last thing. According to the Federalist Papers, there's the doctrine of separation of powers and same hands, clean hands. Well, at all levels, at all branches, the judicial, the executive, and the legislative, everything's controlled by the bar. And the bar is a foreign corporation, as I understand it.
Well, I don't want to get into that. That's a can of worms, but thanks so much for calling,
sure.
Jack.
And, thank you.
Of course, Jack is suggesting that a lot of these people have an Esquire after their name, which puts them into a different category. Well, anyway, Arthur,
I'm going to
let you go here. Do you have a quick parting thought before we let you go?
I can make another good suggestion here. A lot of the counties, individual counties, have veterans representatives representing the county. You know, not the state, but the county. And quite a few of these people are good. So, you know, if you're looking for legal help, sometimes the county service officer could be good for your case.
Sounds like an excellent idea.
Well, we work very well with the county service officers and with most of the state service officers. They seem to be good. But when somebody from, let's say, a county or state says, we can't access your records unless we do it through one of the chartered service organizations like the DAV or the American Legion, then it's time to run the other way.
Hey, we're out of time. God bless you, Arthur. We'll talk to you later. And thanks so very much. Great program.
Thank you very, very much, Dr. Stan. God bless you.
Bye-bye. Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and of course, this is the time when I need to remind all of our listeners that Radio Liberty is still primarily listener-supported, and we do hope that many of you out there will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family and helping us. We do want to mention that we are having a all-day seminar here on the 29th of October, and if you can possibly make it, it'll be a great time. We're going to bring in Constance Cumby from Michigan, Chris Pinto from Southern California, several other speakers, and it's going to be all day long, and certainly we're going to be serving lunch. We have to know how many people are coming, so if you're thinking about it, let us know as soon as you can. Our number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. We also are going to try to republish Dr. Dennis Cuddy's book, Secret Records Revealed, really one of the more important books we have out there, and now we put an index in it. We put on actually an epilogue, and of course you're going to be able to get a full case of those books for exactly the same as when you got the case of my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. So, and this is a much larger book than my book. Anyway, if you're interested in helping and getting a case of Dr. Cuddy's books, and you won't get them, of course, until they're printed, and we're not going to print them until we have enough pledges, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we hope that many of you out there will want to get the material so that you can understand the spiritual nature of what we're talking about. There really are people who've sold their souls to the devil. The devil is not an abstract idea. He's very real. He has his demons. He has his people here, the mediums, the fortune tellers, the diviners, the witches, the Satanists. They're all in contact with the other dimension. And there are beings from the other dimension. You need to get our material on the Brotherhood of Darkness. That's my book. You need, of course, to get our pamphlets on the occult hierarchy that rules the world. And this isn't what I say. This is what they say. They actually have their books. They have their publications. And, of course, they understand the other dimension, which most people don't know. You need to get the videos in. They sold their souls for rock and roll, the 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour version, or Joe Schimmel's The Da Vinci Con, Hollywood's War in America. You will see clips of movies. You may have very well seen the movies, but you didn't understand them, and you didn't understand their spiritual significance because you weren't supposed to. But, of course, this is highly educational, Megiddo 1, Megiddo 2, Rape of the Soul, a great new a video on implanted images, that's implanted images in art. And then, of course, our friend Chris Pinto's video, and incidentally, I am in this, and I'm in several of the others, entitled Minor Parts, believe me. They just ask me my opinion, and I give it for what it's worth. And I don't get paid at all for appearing in any of these videos, although Rape of the Soul was a full-length video. And of course, the Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning actually won the Film Award for the Best Documentary last year, New York Film Festival, Best Film Documentary Film. Fascinating material, and you need to understand it to understand the true nature of the spiritual battle. America is being manipulated into even more conflicts in the Middle East. Sooner or later, I don't know what's going to happen, but it should be obvious, and with that, of course, more and more American boys are going to die. Maybe they don't have the draft just yet, but it may very well come down the line. And you know very well that they're thinking of it because they keep denying it, and you know they don't tell the truth. Basically, right now, many of the people who had volunteered for service are ready to get out, and they simply extend their service. They call it involuntary draft. Many of the reserve units are supposed to be coming home, aren't coming home. They're going to have to stay on and go back again. And ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go from war to war to war, because that's what this is all about. And with that, the wanton destruction of so many young, vibrant human lives. Not only ours, but on the Iraqi side as well. So pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Until tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.
Good afternoon, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, wherever you're situated on this great, big, beautiful, blue globe floating.